They move it to Miller. JT Miller with a slap pass. Rebound.
DK Metcalf, he's got it. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Launches one. Deep left field and gone.
Curry slammed on the brakes. Oh my goodness, Curry.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Live for Sports. My name is Eric Comrie. Just kidding. Kidding. I had to get that joke out of the way. I had to. Sorry, Josh.
My name is 1997 Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's not accurate at all.
I don't find that I really look like anybody. Like the Eric Comrie stuff, that was pretty accurate. That shocked me a little bit.
Yeah. So if anyone
maybe like a blonde Timothy Chalamet, I don't know. But
shut up.
I never felt I look like anybody.
If anyone doesn't know, go look up a photo of Eric Comrie, and then if you know me, look at a picture of me, and you'll be like, that's the same person. It's kind of scary how much I look like him. And I wouldn't say it's as scary that I look like him. It's more scary that we kind of sound similar. Like it's concerning to me. But what are you watching in the background? I keep seeing you turn off.
I got the Leafs game on. I got the Leafs game on. I stopped doing that. It's a bad habit I have. It's tied at one.
Oh, okay.
Leafs Avalanche.
This episode are going to go over the wild card breakdown because we are a month out into the from the playoffs. We basically have two spots left, I would say, maybe three if you want to consider that Ottawa spot really not locked up. There's a four team race in the West and like a six team race in the East. So we're going to break that down again because we get, like I said, 1 month to go until the playoffs start. Then we'll go to the AL East, do our little final division preview. The MLB season is under right now. Dodgers, of course, are on pace for 162 wins.
Oh, God. Cubs 0-162.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll get the AL East out of the way. The most anticipated division, as it's the Blue Jays, of course. Probably we'll hop over the NFL after that because the Bengals receivers got paid. Hello. Also, I don't think we talked about like Cooper Kupp, and there's a couple other things we'll have to touch on. So
the Bengals are the Oilers of the NFL, and I'll say why later.
Okay. And then I want to shout out the Pistons a little bit in the NBA part, because holy fuck, I didn't realize they were seven games above 500 and gonna be in a playoff spot.
Neither did I. Was it last season they lost like 30 in a row?
Yes.
Or whatever it was? Like,
yes,
that's,
it was.
That's insane.
What a turnout.
I just remember their Wingstop promotion. It was so funny. You see, like, Pistons lose by 30 points, presented by Wingstop.
Yeah.
Wingstop sponsor the podcast.
We're not American, Joseph. That's hard to do.
Hey, I'll take those foreign dollars.
Yeah. All right. Wild card race. Start in the East, probably, I'd say, right?
Yep.
Currently, as it stands, the Senators are at 77 points with 15 games remaining. They hold the first wild card spot. They're also 6 points back of Toronto. Don't know if it's doable. And Tampa Tech, too, I'll mention. But we'll see. Montreal now occupies the second one with 73 points with 15 games left. The Rangers are at 72 points with 13 games left. The Islanders are at 70 points with 15 left. The Jackets are also at 70 points with 15 left. The Wings are at 70 with 14 left. And the Bruins are at 69 with 13 left.
Bruins are done. We can cut them out.
Yeah, I agree, but they're close enough where you got to throw them in there.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
This has been a good end of the season race, because I think last year, like, the West was either one of the West or East was pretty much completely locked up at the end of the year. Then one other conference, they were battling between two spots left. This year, the wild card is wide open in both conferences, and I like that.
It was the West last year that was basically locked up. Like, St. Louis finished with, like, 93, I want to say, and I think 99 was the final wild card spot or something like that, or 98. Like, it wasn't that close. And then the East was just a clusterfuck, I remember, till the end.
Yes, but I do remember that. But as I pull up my wild card standings here on my telephone, I think Ottawa's going to make it.
I would assume
They've
they've
been
been
playing really
yeah.
well lately. They lost to Montreal yesterday and they blew a lead and they didn't look very good doing it.
Travis Hamonic scored.
He also had a primary assist.
Oh my God. Are we in the Matrix?
And he was directly responsible for two goals against.
Yep, makes sense.
So it was essentially a wash,
Which is an
right?
improvement.
I mean, please, please, Nick Jensen, come back. Please. Of course, Green will probably scratch Manton Paolo. That's like the one L Travis Green has taken all year as coach of the Senators is his love of Travis Hamonic. And the
They
fact that he plays,
coached him before.
well, yeah, but like that was years ago. And the fact that he's playing Fabian Sutherland on the fourth line, which is frustrating me a little bit. He's playing under 10 minutes every night. We paid a second round pick for him. Let's play him. There's got to be better line mates out there than Matthew Highmore and Adam Gaudette. Speaking of former Canucks.
Loves his Canucks, man.
Yeah, well, you love your Canucks.
Well.
But yeah, I think Ottawa should be okay. They're getting some goaltending. Kachuk's having a really nice year. Batherson's picked it up. Dylan Cousins has fit in like a glove. The vibe seems to be really good around Ottawa, which is something I was a little concerned about after the Josh Norris trade. I was wondering how that was going to impact the locker room. But in the end, I think it was David Perron who said, "You know what? When you're this far down the line in a rebuild and you haven't gotten anything done, nobody should feel safe and nobody should be crying over spilled milk with trades." And that's what it was with Josh Norris. They've been rebuilding for a long time. They hadn't accomplished anything with him. So, hey, shake up the core, and now it looks like they should make it, barring some major collapse. They have 15 games left. New York has looked pretty poor lately. And I think Ottawa should be fine. So I really think it's between New York, Montreal, well, Rangers, Montreal, and then one of the Islanders and the Blue Jackets.
Ottawa should be fine because they actually have the easiest strength of schedule remaining in the league.
They are also the only team in that bracket with a positive goal differential. Montreal is negative 16. New York is only negative one. So you think they should be a little better than what they have right now. But JT Miller had a rough couple weeks here of hockey. I think 4 points in his last eight games, no goals. Right as Pettersson's got him back together. They're gonna need more out of JT Miller.
So I'll do the strength of schedule for the East. So Ottawa, easiest in the league, easy enough. Boston's actually 29th. So that's good for them. I guess or fourth or whatever. So they have a good schedule. It goes Boston, then it would go to Montreal. They're middle of the pack, just below middle of the pack, I guess. Easy enough. I think it's 13, that would be 19, so something like that. Then it goes to the Rangers in the 12, the 12th hardest. Columbus in the 9th hardest. The Islanders in the 4th hardest, and Detroit has the hardest strength of schedule remaining left.
I think Detroit's cooked.
I think Detroit's pretty cooked too.
They look terrible.
They still have two games against the Panthers, one against Tampa, one against Colorado, one against Vegas, one against Dallas, one against Carolina. They play games against Montreal and Boston, and then they also have to play St. Louis and Utah, who are also fighting for playoff spots.
Yeah, and everyone except for New York has games in hand on Detroit. New York Rangers. That is, they've played 68 games. Ottawa's at 67. Montreal's at 67. The Islanders are at 67. Columbus is at 67. Only the Rangers have
And the
don't have
Bruins,
games on them.
technically, but yeah, we're
Well,
basically considering them out. Yeah.
I'm not playing the Bruins game. They're done. Yeah. So I think Detroit's done. Their Todd McClellan coaching bump wore off a little while ago. If they don't make the playoffs, I'm watching to see what happens with Steve Yzerman. I'm not necessarily thinking he gets fired, but if I wonder if he gets bumped upstairs and becomes like president of hockey operations or something, and they
Isn't
kind of
he
say,
already
hey,
president of Hockey Ops?
or like senior vice president of the organization or some shit like that. Basically, like remember the Panthers did that with Dale Talen all those years ago, where it was basically firing via promotion.
Did you see that? I think Dale Tallon was on Spit and Chicklets, and he was saying he still didn't believe in analytics.
Wow,
He
in
still doesn't understand. He
2025.
still doesn't understand it and whatnot. And it's like, okay, well,
So he's just fluking his way into rings then.
you well, no, like in Florida, he couldn't get them over the hump, and then as soon as he got bumped up or demoted or whatever, they had good ownership with good analytics come in, and look what happens now.
Yeah, I mean he does have a Chicago ring. I think he was there in 2010.
I believe he was, yeah.
Yeah, I think he was. Then Stan Bowman took over. But I mean, like, fucking dinosaurs in hockey are. Hockey and baseball are the worst for dinosaurs in management positions. Because good Lord, Dale Talon, you're like 7 years old and you still don't get this stuff. You
And the
don't have to
NFL when it
be.
comes to Jerry Jones and the Cowboys.
Well, Jerry Jones is a special case. Like the day he croaks, we might see a celebration in Dallas we
Like
have
a Luka,
seen
like a
since
Luka type
1993.
celebration or Luka type funeral like gathering, yeah.
Bro, poor Dallas fans. If I'm a Dallas sports fan, I just hitch my wagon to the stars and not do anything else.
Think they have. I think the Stars have been doing really well attendance wise this year.
Well, they're always good in terms, like they're never bad. Like they always sell out. They're not like huge in terms of revenue because their TV money isn't a ton because they're like fourth place probably in that market because college and high school football is huge there.
Yeah.
But Dallas always does well. So, in terms of attendance, underrated jersey combination. I think I said that last week. But I love the Dallas logo jerseys. I love the green. I love non-traditional jersey colors. Give me green. Give me purple. Give me orange. Give me yellow. I don't need blue and black. There's plenty of that.
Bet.
Yes. But yeah, I think Detroit. I would really seriously watch out for Steve Yzerman getting bumped upstairs, and they bring in a younger GM. Maybe even take some of the burden off of Steve Yzerman, because good Lord, what a failure his GM tenure has been. Because I think they're approaching 10 years out of the playoffs now. I think
2016,
2017,
2016,
16 or 17. Yeah. So
16 it would have been.
it's coming up. Because remember they had that 25-year streak, right? Of the
Yeah,
playoffs,
yeah.
and then they missed it in 2017 or
And
whatever
everyone's
it
like,
was.
okay, let's get the rebuild underway. And they got under the rebuild, and now it's just been way too long.
It took them 3 years to rebuild, to even get to a rebuild. They still tried to be competitive in the final Ken Holland years, and even beyond that, like the Jeff Blashill years. For the most part, they were trying to be competitive, but that didn't work. He delayed the rebuild. They've had bad draft lottery luck. Nate Danielson is looking very poor as a ninth overall pick. I don't even think he's close to point per game in the AHL or WHL, wherever he is. Marco Casper has been kind of underwhelming. Simon Edvinson looks good, but for sixth overall pick, you want more than a second pairing defenseman. Their goalie, Sebastian Cosa, isn't there yet. Like, there's been some failures with them. There's been some failures.
Isn't Edvinson higher than a sixth? Or like no lower, I guess. That like not
Edvinson was sixth overall.
was he? I gotta fact check you on this.
I'm certain he's no worse than eighth. He was definitely a top 10 pick because they kept falling in the lottery
Oh,
year
he
after
was
year.
sixth. Okay,
Yeah,
you're
that's
right.
right.
I could
And
have
so
I
was
can
Sider. Sider was sixth overall, but they play him with Sherrod, and that kills him. But
Oh,
other
yeah.
than that, he's been a success, I would say.
All right. So if we're assuming Ottawa's in, we're assuming Detroit and Boston are out. That leaves Columbus, the Islanders, the Rangers, and the Habs for one spot.
Okay. If I'm going to make a preliminary prediction on who makes it, I'm going to say the Montreal Canadiens. They are riding the wave. They got youth, they got fever, they got energy. Sam Montembeau has been one of the best goalies since the Four Nations break, justifying a spot maybe on the Olympic team next year for Team Canada. You never know. I'd say he's probably the front runner for at least the number three spot at the moment. They look really good. They look together. Nick Suzuki's been an excellent captain there. Cole Caulfield's having his best season yet. Juraj Slafkovský's had a real strong second half. Their depth scoring is showing up. Lane Hutson has been way better than I thought he would be in his first full season. And the fact of the matter is, in my opinion, I know Montreal's a rival of some of my teams. The league is better when Montreal is good.
100%.
The league is better when Montreal and Toronto are both good at the same time. Because we talk about Leaf fans and their size and their reach. Talk about Canuck fans and their passion and Boston and New York and Minnesota, Detroit, thinking of some good fan bases. None of them hold a candle to Montreal when the team is good. None. Montreal has the best fans in the league. Bell Center has the biggest capacity in the league. I think it's about 21,000 fans. And when that building is sold out and loud and the team is good, there is no better atmosphere for hockey. Think of the Four Nations tournament, the first game Canada had versus Sweden. The roar when Mitch Marner scored. I really want to see that in the playoffs again. It'd be really invaluable for the Habs if they make the playoffs this year. I would liken it to when the Leafs made the playoffs in 2017, where they faced Washington. They didn't win a round, but it kind of set the foundation of what they were building towards the next few years. Of course, Montreal will hope for more playoff success than the Leafs from their core. But yeah, I mean, I've been really encouraged by their rebuilds. Because remember at the beginning of the year, they were bleeding goals, bleeding chances, the worst defensive team in the league by a large margin. There were some rumors about Marty St. Louis maybe being a mid-season firing. He made some adjustments, and his team looks great. So good for Montreal, good for their fans. They're my preliminary pick. I'd really like to see what happens if they could make the playoffs. Because remember, back in 2010, I think it was 2010, against Washington, they made it as the eighth seed and they upset the President's Trophy winning Washington Capitals.
Yep,
So,
I believe you're right on that year. Yeah,
which if the playoffs started now, that's who they play in the playoffs. President's Trophy winning Capitals.
they
So
have
will
two
history
game
repeat itself?
two games against the Hurricanes, two games against the Panthers, one against the Avalanche, one against the Leafs, one against Chicago, one against Nashville, two against Philadelphia, one against Boston, Detroit, and the Islanders.
So they got to clean up against Philly, against Chicago,
They
against Boston,
have,
because there's
yeah,
some
they'll
tough teams in
have
there.
four games, I guess, against teams that are out of it at least. And then let's say they beat Boston and Detroit. There's five, but then yeah, you got Florida you gotta deal with. I guess at best case scenario, what you probably hope you split with like Florida and Carolina, maybe take one of the Avs or Leafs games and then clean up against the bad teams for the most part. They just
Well,
basically have to play like 500 to get in, I'm pretty sure at this point. Almost.
Montreal has owned the Leafs in Boston this year. They've done really well in their rivalry games. And this core, they're getting up for these games. Like, they're young, they're excited, they're hungry. That is a hungry team over there. So never underestimate the drive of a young team that is playing with house money. They got nothing to lose. If they fall out of the playoffs, fans will be disappointed, but I don't think it'll be seen as a failure. Because they're probably a year ahead of schedule.
I know we like said we don't want to like just like we want to count out Boston, but man, they have a game against San Jose, Chicago, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Anaheim, and Detroit still. Like there's five
Yeah, I
wins
mean,
guaranteed there if you...
they just seem like a team who's lost their spirit.
They do.
So I don't think they can overcome that.
And then
But maybe.
we'll go to the Rangers now. They have Carolina for one, Florida for one, Tampa for two, Toronto, LA, and Minnesota for one. Then you go to San Jose, Philly, Anaheim, the Islanders, and the Canucks for one.
Yeah. Rangers are a weird team.
That's a tough schedule-ish.
It is, and they need Miller and the big guns to pick it up. Because last game or last night,
Oh my God.
I'm blanking on who it was against. Was it the
I was against the Flames.
Islanders? Flames. Yep. Flames fighting for their playoff. These are two teams that are fighting for their playoff lives. The Flames have looked like shit recently. So this should be a game. Not a gimme for the Rangers, but it should be one where you expect to win.
It was
And they
a
were flat, they were lifeless, and they allowed Calgary to score two goals against them. They only scored one. I mean, Calgary can't score.
That was also
And
the Flames' second night of a back-to-back.
yeah, like that's just a lifeless performance. I think in terms of frauds in the NHL, there are a few bigger frauds in the league than Pierre Laviolette. Like
Yeah, you're not a fan of him.
he's a 2006 merchant. Over here, he's still mooching off that Hurricanes Cup where he was carried by Cam Ward and Rod Brind'Amour. I mean, like, that was almost 20 years ago. He hasn't accomplished anything since. So he's a failure with the rain with the he's a failure with where was he before this? He was with
Nashville.
Nashville, he was in Philly. He just hasn't really worked. Washington, that was a poor tenure. I mean, like, eventually the NHL will stop recycling its coaches one day. May not, maybe it won't be in the near future, but Pierre Laviolette, you had a Stanley Cup. It's like Brian Burke. Yeah, you got one Stanley Cup, but it was 1,000 years ago, figuratively speaking. Like, you can't keep hiring people based on what they did in the distant past. You got to hire them what you think they're going to do in the future. And Laviolette, I just don't think he's a very good coach anymore.
Maybe it was also in Philly, I believe, for a time, wasn't he?
Yeah, early 2010s.
Yeah.
It was weird. They fired him 3 games into a year once.
Yeah.
And it was actually Craig Berube who took over.
Oh, interesting. I feel like I remember that. Yeah.
I think it was 2012. I think it was the lockout year.
2013 was lockout year.
Yeah,
So.
it was in that ballpark, that area.
Okay. I'll give it to the Habs. They got the vibes going for them right now. They're kind of like what I like to see. who's got the biggest vibes right now. The Rangers seem like they don't cut the vibes. The
No.
Islanders are just always meddling around there. And I think the Jackets are. I wish it was the Jackets. It would be a great story, but it seems like they're kind of slowing down here. They've lost, I
Yeah.
believe, four in a row now, maybe?
If they had
Four in a
Monahan,
row.
they've been ravaged by injuries. I
And
mean, if they
six in
had
a row,
Monahan
seven.
in the lineup, I'd feel a little different. But he's been injured for a while. I think they're on the downswing a little bit. In terms of the Islanders, I genuinely think the worst thing that could happen to them is them making the playoffs. Because then Lou Lamoriello will be like, well, shit, we're a contender. Then they'll get killed by Florida or somebody. And Lamoriello will be like, well, we made the playoffs, so I got to go for it every year. And then they'll be pure purgatory for the next
The
decade.
thing is, I don't think they're ever going to rebuild with Lamoriello around.
You got to think he retires soon. The guy's almost 80. You like, and then I wonder what happens to Watt. Like, because I know in Colorado, Watt was involved in hockey ops. So does he go co-GM coach? I haven't seen that in a long time in the NHL. Not since Anaheim with Bob Murray about 3 or 4 years ago, I want to say. And not on a full-time basis in like 15 years. But I wonder if he takes a bump upstairs or if they just get rid of him. Because it's a mess on the island. They got a new arena. It doesn't sell out every game.
Ooh, it has not been doing good.
No,
I've seen some games.
which is weird because that's a very passionate fan base with a lot of history. They must be really frustrated with their team and with the management, with the coaching, because I know they hated Lane Lambert. Like they wanted his head on a pike, basically from the moment he was hired, but he's long gone. So, I mean, I think they're done with Sleepy Lou. I mean, it just doesn't really work with him. Like it's not 2004 anymore. Time to move on.
The rest of the East is like pretty much set. I get like Washington's gonna win the East. Carolina is gonna host New Jersey most likely, barring a Hurricanes collapse. And then I guess the only other thing would be the Atlantic, which is a battle between the Panthers, Lightning, and Leafs for those three spots positioning wise right now. And if you're the Leafs, you better pray you're getting one of the 2 seed or the 1 seed at least. Probably the 1 seed you need.
Yeah, they've looked a little better recently. They're beating Colorado right now, but it's the Leafs in the playoffs. I mean, who knows,
Do you
really,
imagine
right?
the Leafs finish first again and we get like Leafs Ottawa round one or Leafs Senators round one? I
Ottawa's.
personally I want to see Florida versus Ottawa round one right now though.
That would
Brady
be
versus
fun.
Matthew would be hilarious.
Yeah, well, we'll see if Matthew plays,
He'll
right?
play.
Because he's.
He'll
Yeah.
play. We
I mean,
both know
gosh,
their
if
opponent, I
it's
guess.
Leafs Senators, I mean, I think the Leafs would win. And I know
Sens have
Ottawa's
been playing
dominant.
good against them this year, haven't
I
they?
know Ottawa has beat them every single time this year and a couple games last year. History often doesn't often repeat itself, but it rhymes. Back in the early 2000s, Ottawa would always kill Toronto in the regular season, then lose in the playoffs every single time. I don't think Ottawa has offensive firepower to hang with the Leafs over a 7-game series. But that's the problem with the Leafs in the playoffs. Their offense always dies on them. So will that happen again? I don't know. It's just I'm concerned over a 7-game series of Travis Hamonic would entail.
I kind of think Brady might make the Leafs' top players' lives hell in that series.
Well, I just want to see Kachuk in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, like I can only imagine how fun that would be. Like it's just I look, they should make it. And it's important they make it this year, Ottawa, because, you know, Kachuk's only got a couple of years left on his contract. It's important in terms of appeasing him. But man, I can't wait because that's something Ottawa's good at. Their building's always rocking in the playoffs when they don't have an owner trying to kneecap them. So that'll be fun.
Let's go to the West now.
Yes.
Currently, as it stands, Vancouver holds the final spot with 14 games left. They sit at 75 points. The Blues sit with 13 games left, also at 75 points. Those two teams play each other tomorrow night at 4:30 Pacific. Calgary sits at 73 points with 15 games left. And Utah sits at 71 points with 14 games left. And then Anaheim's out of it. Seattle's, yeah, they're not coming back. And then I guess Joseph, I asked this question to my buddy last night. I forget. Like, what are the odds Minnesota falls out and Calgary and Vancouver get the last spots? And then Montreal and Ottawa hold on and we get all seven Canadian teams in the playoffs. How sick would that
As
be?
cool as that
That's a
would be,
pipe dream, but
I don't think it's going to happen. I think Minnesota will find a way to hold on. They'll do it for Fleury. And I think Kaprizov is scheduled to be back kind of soon, if I'm not mistaken.
We'll go over. I'll do this the strength of schedule here quick. So the Blues have the easiest, and my God, is it good. They have the second easiest in the league behind Ottawa. It goes Winnipeg, Colorado for two, Edmonton for one, Chicago for one, Nashville for two, and then Seattle, Pittsburgh, Detroit, and Utah for one. And then I guess they play Vancouver tonight, tomorrow too. I don't know why Vancouver's not listed on there.
Yeah, I mean, my eyes kept hard on St. Louis. I think they're the biggest threat to Vancouver right now. Calgary, like I mentioned earlier, is really struggling to score. Their offense has completely gone into the gutter. Jaeger Sharangovich Sharangovich has had a major step back this season, so has Backlund. Huberdeau's had a bit of a resurgence, but he's not 110-point Huberdeau anymore, obviously. Kadri isn't his Colorado level anymore. They just can't score, and Dustin Wolf can't carry them indefinitely. So I don't think they're going to make it. Utah's weird because they're so inconsistent. Like they beat Vancouver earlier in the week, beat them pretty, like that game wasn't even all that close, despite the score was pretty even. Like, I mean,
Second
like
night of a
Vancouver,
back to back.
yeah, Vancouver was barely moving
Yeah.
at all in that game. And but then yesterday, Utah gets their asses handed to them by Edmonton, and one of Edmonton's very few dominating performances this year. So, like, they couldn't even beat Calvin Pickard more than once. So, I don't really know how to evaluate Utah right now. They could make it. They're 4 points out. They'll be motivated too in their first season to make the playoffs. They're going to be trying. They're not going to go into cruise control mode here. But really, it's St. Louis that I'm looking out for. They have looked like a completely different team with Jim Montgomery, at the coach. Over Drew Bannister. They had a really bad start to the year. It cost Drew Bannister his job, and Jim Montgomery's done a really good job there overall, as expected. I think most people knew they'd not only get a good coach or a new coach bump, but that Jim Montgomery is also a real good coach in the league. He really suffered from Jeremy Swayman's bad start in Boston. So I am expecting St. Louis to give Vancouver the biggest run for their money. They're tied in points. Vancouver has a game in hand. Vancouver's been better lately, but without Hedl, and I don't know what's happening with Demko, because Lankinen can't play every single game.
Demko's coming on the road trip. I think he's going to
Oh,
return at some
jeez.
point.
And then be gone again because you
Yeah.
just can't rely on him. I mean, I just don't know with Vancouver. Like, they were such PDO merchants the other day against Winnipeg. Playoff Hellebuck was really out in full force there, but. If I have to bet, like I said, I'm choosing Montreal in the East. I'm going to choose St. Louis in the West. Maybe because I'm a bit of a Canuck hater this year. I just don't like their process. And just as a quick aside, God, I wanted to bang my head against the wall when I heard Rick Tocchet say he was trying to reprogram Elias Pettersson's brain to do less regroup hockey, more north-south. It's not 1994 anymore. The dump and chase is not the best way to do things. You do not reprogram a player like Elias Pettersson. Come on, Rick. Come on. But at the end of the day, my prediction is St. Louis, because they have two good goaltenders, Hofer and Binnington, and some depth scoring. Holloway has done so well there. God damn it, Stan Bowman. But I do think St. Louis is the team to watch for on that side.
The rest of the strength of schedule. Calgary is tw the 12th easiest. They go Dallas for one, Vegas for two, Colorado for one, Edmonton for one, LA and Minnesota for one, and then San Jose for two, Seattle for one, Anaheim for two, Utah for one, and I believe the Islanders for one. It just isn't popping up on my screen fully. Then you go Utah, who is 14th easiest. They go Winnipeg, Dallas, Florida for one, Tampa for two, LA for one, Chicago for one, Nashville for two, and then Buffalo, Seattle, Detroit, and St. Louis for one. And then Vancouver has the 10th hardest in the league. They still have a game against Winnipeg, a game against Dallas, two against Vegas, one against Colorado, one against Minnesota, one against New Jersey, and then they go one against San Jose, Seattle, Anaheim, the Rangers, Columbus, and the Islanders.
Yeah,
I'm,
I don't.
as a Canucks fan, I'm scared of St. Louis because their schedule is so easy.
Yeah, that's a part of it. I just don't think the Canucks have enough goals in the lineup because Hedl has a concussion history. I'd be surprised if he even comes back within a week or two. Because that was a shitty hit by Dickinson. Stunned it didn't even get a fine from the NHL.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not stunned. I'm not stunned with the way the Department of Player Safety is run. But I think St. Louis is going to squeak in. And will it be 2019 Redux? You never know. New coach, bad start,
No.
comeback? No. Although that was probably the most mid team to win a Stanley Cup final ever, or well, at least in the
Who
last decade.
do they?
Beats Boston.
No, who they? Who does? Who would they play in the first round? Winnipeg. Yeah, I can't see it being Winnipeg. They did beat Winnipeg on in the first round on route to that cup, but.
It's just with Winnipeg's so weird because they always have great regular seasons and then just die in the playoffs.
Well, you know
They're
why,
kind.
and I'm kind of starting to lean into this more, and maybe why I think I might be picking against Winnipeg in the first round this year as my upset.
Playoff Hellebuck.
Well, not play, well, kind of, but dude, they overuse the fuck out of him in the regular season, and they're gonna do it again this year. He's gonna play like 60 games. It's like, why? You're already miles ahead in first, pretty much. Yeah, they're 9 points up on Dallas right now. Why is he playing that this much?
I saw a segment on TSN about that. Like, how much do you care about the President's Trophy? If I'm a player, I don't give a shit about the President's Trophy. I mean, I think you get a little bit of a bonus if you win the President's Trophy. It's in their contracts. But I mean, like, I'd rather just go into the playoffs healthy than chase the President's
I
Trophy.
mean,
Get yourself geared up.
I saw. Let me pull this up. What's the all-time goalie wins record? I believe is like 48 in a season. Hellebuck is at 39.
There's no reason to chase that.
There's no reason, in my opinion, either. He's already played. This is that last night was his 53rd game played, 52nd started. I don't get him to 60. Like, they have how many games left? I believe they're at 16. They have 13 left. Hellebuck should be playing 7 or 8 of those, max.
Yeah, I'd say so. And
Don't.
Comrie's a decent backup. It's
You
not
mean me? I'm
terrible.
a decent backup?
Hilarious, Nathan. But I mean, come on. I mean, you can play him. Like, they should
Yeah.
be good enough to win with Comrie.
Comrie's got a 240 and a 914. He's only played 17 games, but.
Yeah, it's a backup stats I never look too hard into because the sample size is very low. That's how you overpay backup goalies, by looking at the stats.
I'm gonna say Calgary and Utah are not gonna make it. I think it's a two-team race between Vancouver and St. Louis. And I can't
Yeah.
wait for Canucks Twitter to have an absolute meltdown when St. Louis beats them tomorrow, and then like the Canucks will win the next one, and then it'll be, oh, we're still back in the playoffs, blah blah blah. Like,
Well, how much money is Brock Besser costing himself with this last month? I know he scored yesterday.
he had 3 points yesterday,
I
Joseph.
know. I know. But if in between Utah and Calgary, if there's going to be one team to make a run, I'd probably say Utah. The future mammoth, I hope. I know the Oilers
They
Twitter
were
account.
trade they submitted like trademarking for it, I heard.
And hockey club.
I didn't
And
hear hockey club.
it is. It's the way the article worded it was so poor. Basically, they just extended their trademark stuff. They extended their window another month for all three. It's just they worded it so poorly. I think it's going to be the Mammoth. I hope so. Better not be hockey club or Wasatch. God, thank God they got rid of that. I was literally going to become the Joker. But yeah, I can see Utah making a run, but I do think this is St. Louis's. They're the favorites in this race. Just don't think Vancouver have enough offense in the tank.
I'm gonna stick with my boys and say Vancouver's gonna get in, of course.
Okay, Mr. First in the Pacific Division.
Okay,
You're.
did you play? Could you play me?
Yes. I
How?
said from the beginning their PDO was going to regress.
Did you? Yeah, obviously. I didn't think it was gonna be this bad. They're like a negative PDO team this year, aren't they?
Yeah, because they get 19 shots per game, Nathan.
Yeah. Like their PDO went from like up here to like down here. Somehow, like it doesn't make sense.
It does a little bit the way they play.
No, okay, it does, but you would think it would go from like up here, probably with the talent they had coming in, to like down here, like probably average is what I would say. Maybe a little bit above I was expecting, but that was not the case this year. And then the locker room turmoil and whatnot just kind of derailed them. Honestly, you kind of have to give them a shit ton of credit, though, for how much shit they've dealt with this offseason, and they're still in, or during the season, and they're still in a playoff spot.
I'm not giving them fuck all. Are you kidding? They had 109 points last year.
There's so much shit going on with them.
Boo hoo, you're millionaires. Get over it. Come on. You can't be give you can't be copping out. You can't be giving them that kind of
Oh,
cop out.
trust me, I'm disappointed in this year, but like I feel like
You can be
to some degree
disappointed.
you can be like, okay,
Oh,
all the shit
man.
that's happened this offseason, they're still here.
What do you mean all this shit? Miller's been gone for a month and a half.
Yeah, and then you had the whole Besser
And you knew
scandal.
you I would not call that a scandal.
No, sorry, not a scandal, but like you know what I mean. The
Like that
whole
wasn't even like anything crazy. If they were performing up to expectations, there was no way Besser would even be considered to be traded at the deadline. And coming into this year, I said beginning of the year, who's the second most valuable player on the Canucks? I said Miller after Hughes, because I said I don't think you can rely on Demko to be healthy. Like this was looking back, like it's not incredibly surprising the season has gone the way it has. Like everybody shot above their weight last year. Everybody. Outside of like Pettersson, who had like 89 points. But everybody had close to a career season last year. Of course, there's going to be some regression.
well, Quinn Hughes having his what would have been his career year this year if he wasn't hurt all
Yeah,
the time.
he's the only one who's exceeded expectations, I'd say.
God, he's having like it's a shame he hasn't been fully
He
healthy. Because
is the team. Like
the Norris race would be so entertaining. Like the three like if Columbus was still fighting too, then you had like Werenski, Makar, who might score 30 goals this year, and Hughes, who's like putting up ridiculous point per game pace. Or he's like I believe he'd be on pace for like 100 if he was fully healthy.
He's doing Erik Karlsson Sharks stuff with, of
Except
course,
good at
better plus
defense.
minus. Yeah. I mean, you could make the argument that there's no player in the league that's more valuable to their team than Quinn Hughes.
Yep.
Yeah. Montreal, St. Louis. That's my prediction.
Montreal and Vancouver because I have to stick with my guys at this point.
Okay.
AL East, Joseph. It is time. It is time
Tis
indeed.
it? Tis it?
Last
Does it have
place.
to be time?
Last place will be the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm kidding. Ha ha. I have hope. I have
Do
hope.
you?
I have
Do you?
hope.
I have more hope today than I had 2 months ago.
Where's my Oh, here it is. I do have the Tampa Bay Rays in last place going 79 and 83. They'll always like find a way to be hovering around there or in the playoffs, I feel like. They're never going to be bad. So probably I would say this I don't know the math on this. What? No, I do. This is probably the best division in the league other than the NL West, but the Rockies like drag that down heavily, so it kind of mitigates the Dodgers for my.
I don't know. I think the NL East is, but well, no.
But then they have the Marlins and the
Yeah.
Nationals.
Central, no.
Like I got four teams above 500 in this
Yeah, okay.
division, and one
I'll
just
give you
below it.
this. I'll give you this.
So,
Okay. So you have the Rays in last.
I do.
As do I. This is the year, Nathan. This is the year. This is the final, the long prophesized year where the Rays finally have the bottom fall out of them. Remember, they're playing in a minor league ballpark all season at the Yankees spring training complex in Tampa, Hal Steinbrenner Field, I think it is, because the Trop had its roof blown off during one of the hurricanes that hit South Florida.
Speaking of which, their ballpark situation right now. Woo!
Ooh.
They're getting moved.
Montreal? No, not until they get a new building. But hey, I mean, like that's one thing, just the bureaucratic nonsense of trying to get a stadium going. I mean, good Lord, dealing with the counties and the towns and the councils. Oh, I'd lose my mind if I had to deal with that. But yeah, the Rays have good pitching. Shane McClanahan's fantastic. Drew Rasmussen is good. Ryan Pepiot and Shane Boz murk the Blue Jays time after time. Their bullpen is fantastic. Pete Fairbanks, Manuel Rodriguez, Garrett Clevenger, Alex Faiedo. I mean, there's some real good players on this team. They have Blue Jay legend Danny Jansen, who's going to be their starting catcher. Nothing would surprise me more than Danny Jansen hitting 270 with 25 home runs with the Rays. That would be the most predictable thing on the planet. Yandy Diaz owns us. Jonathan Aranda owns us. Brandon Lau kills us. I mean, God, looking through these names, I'm getting PTSD from all these bums who come and just murk the Blue Jays. Junior Caminero. I mean, Even with all that, though, I think the circumstances are just going to be too much for them this year. I think the Blue Jays have improved a little bit. I think the Orioles are on the rise. Boston improved. I think New York has stayed about the same. So by default, I'm going to have to say Tampa's going to come last in the division, and their future's in flux. They had a long time to get that stadium going. The Trop has been a problem for years, and they kind of sat on their ass. And they had Ybor City, which is a place in South Florida they were thinking of. That fell through. The most recent one fell through. Rob Manfred, I mean, this is going to be part of your legacy. Teams with shitty stadiums being unable to get new ones. Happened to the A's, and now I think it's going to happen to the Rays.
I take two of them last, though. In my fourth place, I have the New York Yankees.
Wow.
I have them going 84 and 78.
Wow. Wow, Nathan.
I think the Soto loss is going to be really big. Who knows if Judge can stay fully healthy, because he's like 32, 33 now.
I know, that's surprising.
And
He made his debut at like 25.
I know he's big. Like, you think his body's gonna wear down. Giancarlo Stanton's body is wearing down. He's like, apparently if he got elbow surgery on both his elbows, then he's done for the year. So we'll like he's gonna play through it, I think, but we'll see how that goes. And you know how his lower body is at this point. Cody Bellinger, I think, could have a really nice year at Yankee Stadium. The short porch could really benefit him. They brought in, was it Goldschmidt, I believe, to play first base?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. They
6 years ago,
lost.
I'd be really scared
Yeah,
about
they
that, but
lost Gleyber Torres, though.
he
Who's
was
their
mid.
second baseman now?
I will look it up for you, Nathan Mailey.
They're not going to play Chisholm there, are they?
I think it's a question if he played, because he played third mostly last year. Right
Yeah.
now, MLB depth chart has Chisholm starting at second base, but there's also DJ LeMahieu, Oswaldo Cabrera,
Right.
a couple of options.
Right. And then their outfield goes like what? Judge, Bellinger,
Dominguez.
Dominguez, right? If Dominguez can be good, because he was a pretty hyped up prospect.
Yeah, they also have Trent Grisham,
Yeah.
who's
But
really good defensively.
Gerrit Cole is now done for the year. Good thing they
Yeah.
signed
Ooh.
Freed.
Yeah. And
That's
Rondon is there too. And the locker room cancer that is Marcus Stroman.
Is he did he resign?
Yeah, he's on the team. I
Oh.
don't think he re I think he had another year left on his deal.
I thought he had an option or something, huh?
He is just egomaniac. God, I
He's
liked him
like
so much as a Blue Jay, but like his ego just runs wild. Like he's like, I'm not a bullpen guy. I'm not a bullpen guy. Marcus, it ain't 2016
he's
anymore.
like Tyreek Hill less good.
And with no rings.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
But I'm gonna have him finish fourth. I think there's already seems to be too much going wrong for them in spring training, and I feel like they're another like big injury away from being cooked. They'll still
Yeah,
finish
I could
above
see that.
500 because it's the Yankees and they always do. They pay their way to that, but I'm predicting a fall off and they're really gonna miss Juan Soto this year.
Some interesting points for sure. In fourth place, I have the Toronto Blue Jays missing the playoffs. I think the Vlad contract situation is going to hang over their head all season, and to a lesser extent, Bo. And I think it's going to hurt them big time in their quest to finally win a playoff game. If Vlad has a slow start to the year, like he does almost every season, look out. All hell is going to break loose. And Vlad, who I have a ton of respect for, he needs to shut his mouth. He's at the point now where this is the organization's to blame. He's a little to blame. Stop doing interviews with Latin American journalists saying, I'm going to talk to every single team. Oh, yeah, I'll talk to the Yankees. I'll talk to all 30 teams. Shut the hell up. You are still under contract as a Blue Jay. Juan Soto, all the flack he took, he was no longer under contract with the Yankees, technically, because contracts end in baseball the second the season ends. You still have a full 162 games to play with the Blue Jays. Shut up. I don't want to hear about your free agency one more time from you. Leave that to the writers and to the broadcasters, because we're going to hear it all season long. And Bo, I think it's a foregone conclusion that Bo's going to leave, which, fine. I think if they're 500 or less at the deadline, they have an obligation to move the two of them. Their rotation is still very good. Kevin Gausman, I expect to have a back a bounce back season. I've been a huge Jose Barrios fan for many years. Chris Bassitt's up and down. I mean, he drives me nuts. Either he gets 14 hits and 5 runs against him, or 6 hits on shutout ball through 7 innings. He's getting pretty old. God, 1989. He's 36 years old. I could see him being a trade chip. I think this is last year of his deal.
It is.
Max Scherzer has his thumb issue. They're being really coy about what's happening there. I'll be shocked if he doesn't start the year on the IL, the 10-day. So that means a lot more Yariel Rodriguez than I'd be willing to see as the starter. Bullpen, I like Jeff Hoffman and Chad Green, but beyond that, Jeff. So there's three people in the bullpen that I like for the Blue Jays. Jeff Hoffman, who they spent a lot of money on. Hopefully his elbow is okay because I raised a
Shoulder.
few
Shoulder.
shoulder,
Yeah.
raised a few red flags in his physicals with I think it was the Phillies and the Orioles. I like Chad Green and I like Jimmy Garcia. Everyone else, ugh. Swanson, he was shit last year. Brendan Little, he should be working at Targets. Nick Sandlin, I mean, he's a middle of the pack guy. Ryan Burr, terrible. Dylan Tate, mid. Ryan Yarbrough, he's not pulling on that Rays jersey anymore. I mean, he could be useful long relief. I mean, this bullpen is it's rough. Last year was literally the worst in the league, and I just wonder how much room outside of Hoffman they have to improve. Looking through the other part of their offense, I'm really concerned about their ability to score. Alejandro Kirk, I mean, I think it's going to be you'd be incredibly lucky to get 10 home runs out of him. I know he brings other things to the table. I know he's good defensively, and I know he's got a really good eye. His on base percentage is going to be really high. He's got a DH twice a week, and that means they have to play Tyler Heineman at catcher twice a week, and he's a zero offensively. A zero. And as inconsistent as Kirk can be offensively, he's not a zero. Vlad, I mean, I hope he does well this year. I'm concerned about how much the contract looms over his head, but I mean, I'd like 35 homers again. I mean, we talked about how good his season was last year. He only hit 30 homers. I need more homers this year. If the team's going to make the playoffs, he needs to show more power. Andrés Giménez, excellent defensively. I expect a bit of a bounce back with a bat. I like Giménez. I liked that trade more than most people. I mean, the Miles Straw aspect pissed me off. I know that was a separate trade, but I just expected to bounce back here. Davis Schneider, the book's closed with me. For him, I think he's nothing more than a bench bat. He had a nice little start, but I think he was just a bit lucky. So bench bat. Ernie Clement is going to be the third baseman. I'm hoping Addison Barger has a hot start to the year and displaces him. I know Clement is really good defensively, but I think he's kind of in the same boat as Davis Schneider. When in an optimal situation, he's on the bench. And I think Barger's got a lot of potential. Yes, there's some swing and miss, but he's playing third base. You can live with some swing and miss. Just give me some power. That's our weakness. Give me someone who can hit for power. Ernie Clement has a little bit. Addison Barger has a lot. Shortstop, Bo Bichette, short hair Bo, had a horrible season last year, was injured essentially the whole time. It's a walk year, so I'm expecting a bounce back year. I'll be shocked if he's on the team next year. Shocked. Springer, it's all downhill from here. We know that.
Oh my God.
God,
Difficult
he's looked
training.
horrible. He's looked terrible. He looks so cooked. So we can officially call that contract a failure, right? I think we're
Yes.
there.
Yeah. Because even when
I
he
mean,
was
he
good,
was
he
good
was
the
hurt.
first year.
Even when he was good, he was hurt.
I know. Santander, I'm excited to see what he brings. You could only hit above 240, but I need at least 30 bombs.
I need 35.
Yeah, 30 to 35. So he'll bring some needed juice. Varsho, God, I read an article the other day on Sportsnet being like, does Dalton Varsho's hot start to the spring warrant him being the DH for the first month of the year? And I was like, because I've been through this before with Dalton Varsho. He can't hit consistently. Like, if he doesn't start the year on the field, if he DHs, who's going to play center? Probably Lopez.
Miles Straw.
Ugh. Are they going to carry him on the team this year?
I don't know. Be interesting. See, we'll
I'd
find
rather
out
see
soon enough.
Lopez.
That's roster decision's got to be like what, 4 days away, five?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I got it. I would prefer Lopez Fido in center field, personally. I mean, or God, they're probably going to play Nathan Lucas.
That dude.
Oh, because they love him for some reason. Or Stuart Baroa. God, kill me if that's the case. And Will Wagner is their projected DH. I like Will Wagner. Had a nice end to the year. There's just not enough offense on this team. And if Vlad starts, I said this already, if Vlad starts slowly, oh boy, it's going to be a tough season. Like, what I'd prefer this year, if you're not going to be great, be shit so you have an excuse to trade everybody. Please don't be 500 at the deadline.
I think they're going to be 500 and try and push because they know they're probably going to lose Vlad and Bo anyway. So they're just like, fuck it,
Well,
we
I
might as
mean,
well push.
they spent all that money on the stadium. I mean, you'd think they'd want a couple of games of playoff revenue to use an Aquilini line. But God, it's just those shitty years in 17, 18, and 19, we're not even going to win a single playoff game in all likelihood. What a
I
failure.
have the Blue Jays in third going 86 and 76. They sneak into the final wild card for me.
Thank God for the third wild card.
I am saying it might not be pretty, might not be ugly, but they'll find a way to get in. I think we're going to see a Vlad and Bo contract year. What's the term? Masterclass is what I'll say. I think they're going to go off on their contract years. Bo needs to, especially after what happened last year. Vlad, with everything going around too, I think he will as well. And I know you hate looking into spring too much, but man, they seem like they can hit this spring. They're hitting bombs.
Danny Jansen was the biggest spring training merchant I ever saw, and then he couldn't hit above 220 to save his life in the regular season. Part of that because he was always hurt. God, in the year Jose Bautista, his final year with the Blue Jays in 2017, where everybody was washed except for Josh Donaldson, he hit like 400 in the spring training. And then he hit like 300 in the World Baseball Classic, which was that season. And then he was washed during the season.
I think he hit
I
like
never
200,
put
didn't he?
203. I mean he hit 23 homers, and that team sucks, so who really cares? I mean, if anyone deserved a farewell tour where you just play bad, it was him. Like, they weren't going anywhere, so it didn't really matter. But I just don't believe in spring training stats. I don't. Sorry.
Don't, yeah, fair enough. You were saying you hate the bullpen. I mean, that's kind of fair. Bullpen volatility, though, year to year is like so wild. Like, because didn't 2 years ago they have the best bullpen in the league?
Yeah.
And then they went to the worst bullpen in the league. Like,
There
they're
is
in with a
some
lot of turnover,
volatility.
but.
There is some volatility. Just the thing is, last year, the pitching had to be perfect for them to win
Yeah.
most of the time because their offense sucked.
I knew the
I,
pitching was going to regress.
yeah, I don't think they improved it that much.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm liking. Apparently, Gosman's been good in this. Hasn't he been good? I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah, he's fine. I mean, Gosman's a really good pitcher. I expect him to be good. He needs to be good. If he's bad, well, God, just get those draft lottery odds going.
I'm expecting it just can't go as bad. I think they'll go back to like an average bullpen. The rotation will probably be average, and I think this is where the offense improves.
I hope
I'm
so.
expecting Vlad and Bo to go off. I'm
I mean,
expecting Santander to come in and hit like 35 plus home runs. I'm ex Hopefully we can get like a 230, 25 home run Varsho or something like that.
yeah, and you know, with Varsho, as long as he's above 20, it's fine with the defense he plays. Guillermo Bin Laden is gone. Don Mattingly, thank God, is nowhere near the hitters. I think he's just kind of doing an assistant bench coach kind of thing because they have DeMarlo Hale back. I mean, this is it. This is the last year.
The
We're
last dance.
yeah. God, the last dance. What have you accomplished, Blue Jays? Nothing. Like, literally nothing. The legacy of this team is failure and embarrassment. This core.
So,
Great movie.
yeah, what a movie. But yeah, Vlad and Bo bounce back is contract year bounce back is kind of what I'm banking on for the Jays to be good this year, and I think they will. So, third place, last wild card. I'll get into the rest of the playoff rankings as we get to the end, but you're third place.
Yeah, the Boston Red Sox.
Okay.
I'm kind of low on them. I don't really believe in them. There's been some division in that team in spring training, I noticed. I saw that
That's.
Rafael Devers is being a bit of a bitch about third base.
I've heard of that, yeah.
And he's like, dude, you're not prime Nolan Arenado. You're a negative defensively.
You're a
Even
negative
yeah, like
defensively.
you're not good there. Like, just be a man and go to DH or first base. Honestly, go to first base. Who do they have?
Causes.
Bro, your first, I mean, he's all right. But yeah, like, that's weird. Like, Bregman's a two-time champ. I mean, I'd show him a little more respect.
Pretty sure
So
it's
it looks like
causes.
he's going to play second, I think. I mean, he's old. That was a player I thought the Blue Jays might go after. There's a lot of risk on that contract. So, and their bullpen. Liam Hendricks, Aroldis Chapman, Garrett Whitlock, Adam Ottavino. That's a pretty when they pitch, it's good, but that's a walking IL stint right there. I just have them ahead of the Blue Jays, really, because I have more faith in their offense. Bregman, Devers, Story, when he plays, is pretty good. Jarren Duran had a bit of a breakout last year. Masataka Yoshida, I expect to be a little bit better. It's going to be real tight between the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. I have the Red Sox pulling out ahead of them a little bit, just because I think their offense is better. I don't believe in the Blue Jays' offense this year, and I think their bullpen's better than the Blue Jays. So I have the Red Sox in third place.
I have the Baltimore Orioles in second place. I have the Red Sox winning this division.
Wow.
I have the Orioles going 88 and 74. I something feels off with Baltimore and their rebuild. Kind of like I'm getting similar vibes to the Jays, but for different reasons almost. I feel like the Jays tried to spend and build around this core. And for what they spent, it kind of worked, but they missed out on a lot. Whereas the Orioles, they're just refusing to spend at all around this core. They let Santander walk. Apparently, he said there that their offer wasn't even close. Like it was laughable, I want to say.
Yeah.
They just seem to be heading in the wrong direction almost. We'll see how Jackson Holliday is this year.
He'll be better.
He should be. Gunnar Henderson's maybe the best, the second best shortstop in the MLB, I would probably say at this point, behind Bobby Witt Jr. That fair?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Oh, I guess Lindor's there too, though. Fuck, that's tough.
Yeah, that is a tough one.
Rutschman was a bit of a down year last year. You expect him to bounce back. They're definitely gonna need like who's gonna replace Santander in his production though is the real thing, because like he hit
They
like what
brought in
45 home
the
runs, didn't he?
yes. Well, that was a few years ago. I think it was down a little. They brought in Tyler O'Neill. He's got a lot of power, a lot of swing and miss, though. So he could be part of that solution.
They just didn't do anything to address the pitching rotation, really, either, I don't think. Like, I think they brought in, like, Charlie Morton, I want to say.
Yeah, I mean, he's all right, but he's
He's, like,
old as
40
hell. I
years
mean,
old now.
they have Eflin, Grayson Rodriguez, Charlie Morton. They brought in a guy from Japan, Tomoyuki Sugano.
Yeah,
So we'll see how that goes. They have Trevor Rogers. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's hard. I'll save them for when they come up with me.
Where's Burns again? Where'd he end up?
Did he have Tommy John? Hold
I
on,
don't
I'll
think
look it up.
so. Fuck, I feel like he went to the, like,
Oh, Diamondbacks.
right, okay.
Yeah,
I thought he was,
because
I was thinking he went to the Dodgers, because I was just rumored for the while, for a while. I was like, yeah, I wouldn't put it past it, but.
The Blue Jays were offered him more money. I remember.
But he took the
Corbin
no state
Burns.
tax.
Yes.
Fair enough, but. Something just seems a little off with the Orioles for me and their rebuild. Still think they're good and they're good enough to be a playoff team, but they've been to the playoffs back-to-back years and they haven't won a game.
Blue Jays.
Yep. So,
Okay,
second
that's
place.
interesting.
And then Red Sox, I'll quickly go over to, I guess, because
Sure. Yeah.
we just touched on them. I'm high on them. Eventually, they got to turn around. Who they bring in pitching what? Oh, they brought in a starter, I know.
Red Sox?
Yeah. Brought in somebody.
Let me check.
Who I'm kind
Garrett
of.
Crochet.
Yeah, right.
He's re and Walker Buehler. I
Yeah,
mean, there's a lot of talent
they're
there.
gonna be good. And Crochet just seems like Chris Sale 2.0 to me. And
Why?
Bregman, I don't know if you know this, Bregman is one of like the greatest hitters ever at Fenway.
Anyway, he's tailor-made for it.
I'm pretty sure he's better than like Ted Williams was at Fenway.
Yeah. Well, Ted
That's
Williams was a lefty.
yeah.
It's not really built for lefties. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that's right. So I'll go through my top two teams now real quick.
Red Sox 90 and 72 is what I
Okay.
have.
Okay. I have the Yankees in second place. I think they're going to be kind of mid for most of the season, and they're going to gear up at the deadline because they know the fans will string them up and kill them if they miss the playoffs. No team has more money to work with outside of the Dodgers. I could see them, the Yankees, going all in at the deadline and such. We all know how good Judge is. Rodon is a good pitcher. Max Fried, I think, was one of the best free agent signings of the offseason. Luis Gil is coming off a rookie of the year. Remember, they brought in Devin Williams to be their closer. Probably the best reliever in all of baseball. He's incredibly good. Goldschmidt is an upgrade on Rizzo at first. Cody Bellinger is really good in the outfield. Jazz Chisholm's really fun to watch. And we all know how good Aaron Judge is when he's going. And Jason Dominguez has been a hyped up prospect for a long time. I think the Yankees are going to be a darn good team, and they'll make the playoffs. Number one, I have the Baltimore Orioles. I know you're a little down on them because I haven't really accomplished anything yet. Remember, they get Felix Bautista back after his Tommy John surgery. I think he'll be back first or second month of the year. So that's big for them. They have a really good bullpen. Yennier Cano, Sir Anthony Dominguez, Andrew Kittredge, Sionel Perez, Gregory Soto. I mean, that's probably the best bullpen in the division. They have some good starters. Zach Eflin's pretty good. Grayson Rodriguez has had his moments. I know Charlie Morton's old as hell. God, he's 42. He's turning 42 this
I
year.
knew
That's
he was in
insane.
his 40s. Yeah, I knew it.
Yeah, well, I
I thought he
mean,
was just 40, but.
he'll be 41 for the entire season. He turns 42 in November. Dean Kramer's a good pitcher. Interesting what Sugano does in his first year in the bigs. But yeah, I expect growth. Remember, they're bringing the fences in a little bit, so that'll help players like Ryan Mountcastle, Jackson Holliday, Jordan Westberg. I think that can't be understated, is because when they pushed the fences way back, that really screwed up their offense. They overcorrected it, and I think this year it's going to recorrect itself a little bit. I think they're going to be juggernauts this year, and they're going to have to force their owners to spend, because if they don't spend that, because it's a new ownership group, it's not the Angelos family anymore. So there's no excuses. You got a ballpark that's in great shape. You have a TV rights deal. No excuses. Get it together. And if they don't spend next offseason, that's a huge waste.
Okay, so my playoff rankings would go the, well, I guess the Red Sox by the Red Sox by de facto at 90 wins get the one seed in the whole playoffs. I'm kind of just expecting the AL to be like mid, I guess, this whole year. The Rangers get the two seed, the Royals get the three seed. Then it would go to the Orioles getting the four. We'll say the Guardians get the five seed, and then the Jays get the six seed. Guardians can have the tiebreaker. And then the
Okay.
Astros miss it by a game. The Yankees miss it by two games. But yeah.
Fair enough.
I don't like a lot of teams going to like 90 wins this year. I don't know why. I think I only have 590 win teams in the whole league. So,
Yeah, it's a weird one coming up.
where are we going? Where are my
Want
notes?
to do the Pistons real quick?
We'll leave them till the end.
Okay. NFL.
Yeah, let me pull up the recent list of transactions and I can go over the ones that are relevant and then you can go on your little Bengals rant. So we left off on the 12th, I believe. Yeah, Cooper Kupp got officially released. Darius Slay, Hargrave. So I've done the 12th, I believe. Doesn't really think there's anything. Okay, so the 13th. Let's find anything of value.
I mean, it started to slow down a little bit. We know Minnesota's not going after Rodgers, which is objectively the right choice. You don't want to bring him in when you have JJ McCarthy ready. He sat for a year. I know he was injured, but had some time to learn the playbook, sit and watch, which is a good thing for NFL quarterbacks to do when they come into the league.
So I guess the biggest one, well, I guess I'll start with the Cooper Kupp thing. 3 year, $45 million to the Seahawks. The Washington kid returns. He's from Yakima, which is like 2 hours away from Seattle. Played college in the state. So returns home. It's weird. It's weird. He definitely fits what Kubiak's offense would be better at than DK does. 100%. Can he stay healthy? Like if we can get probably not. Like if we can get 13 games out of him, I'll be happy. I guess. You gotta think eventually his ankle, like he's gonna twist an ankle or something like that. Does fit better with Kubiak than DK does, and he's $15 million cheaper plus a draft pick attached to it. So I see the vision. How he fits with JSN will be really interesting to see because they both primarily play the slot. So they're going to have some give and take there. Like somebody's going to have to play the outside, or they both are, and we'll have to figure it out because I feel like JSN can probably be better on the outside, but Cooper Kupp, I feel like, is more of a slot guy. So we'll see how that goes. Seahawks are really just going to be interesting overall this year. I don't know if you have anything to say on how he's
Yeah,
going.
I think it's probably better now. He's in a scenario where he doesn't have to be the number one receiver. That's what he was for the most part in Los Angeles. I know Puka Nacua kind of took the role of number one receiver when he was healthy. So it'll be good for Kupp to be a number two. That's the situation he should be in right now. So I like this signing for the Seahawks.
Mekhi Becton got 2 years, 20 million from the Chargers. I really like that. The Chargers, as much as their like O-line was like hyped up to be last year, because they had Rashawn Slater, who's one of the best tackles in the league, and then they drafted Joe Alt, who was supposed to be really good, which he actually was good. Their interior was not great, and Becton was very good for the Eagles last year on the interior. So, 2 year, 20 million, fair enough. Kind of wish the Seahawks went and got him, but is what it is. Seahawks still haven't really done much. One of the more interesting ones was to me was Juszczyk getting released by the Niners, then re-signed by the Niners for 2 years, $8 million.
Yeah, that was odd.
I was like, okay, what's going on there? Sorry, there's a
Although,
spider crawling around on my roof right now.
damn, that's pretty tragic. But yeah, I mean, paying $4 million to a fullback, no matter who it is kind of silly in this day and age, I think. But Mekhi Becton shows what you can do when you can escape from the Jets, because he really struggled there with injuries and being out of shape.
And he was
But he's
just, the injuries, he wasn't really meant to play tackle. He was more meant to play guard, and now he is, and he's being
Which is
very
weird
effective
because he's
there.
like 6'8". Like, you'd think he'd be a good tackle, but
Just too big, though, that's the thing.
yeah.
And then, yeah, we finally, this would have been on Sunday, we got Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins both agreeing to 4 year extensions. Chase gets 4 year 161, so 40.25 per year, makes him the highest non-paid quarterback in the league, beating Myles Garrett by like a week or whatever he signed it. And then T. Higgins signs a 4 year $115 million extension. I believe that's 28.75, it was something like that.
Something like that. I'm not
Or
doing
no, it's
math.
20.25, it would be probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. All right, here's your rant time, I guess.
They needed to get this done. T. Higgins had been franchised twice in a row. That's a one-way ticket to discontentville for a wide receiver. You know, that really frustrates them at times. As Nathan desperately tries to elude a spider that's going to give him spider powers. But they need to get this done. Is it an overpayment for Higgins especially? Yes. But the window is right now. You have Joe Burrow under contract. You have his two top weapons locked up. You might as well pay for good receivers. Bengals ownership has a bit of a reputation for not spending a ton of money. This breaks that a little bit, and now they have one of the best offenses in the league. And now here's my Oilers analogy. They've really neglected their defense. So we'll see if they make any more signings there to help that out a little bit. Haven't really thus far. See what they do in the draft. But their offense looks really good. Defense looks incredibly mid, and that's what killed them last year, was their crappy defense. So let's see if they if that improves at all going into next year. But they got their main orders of business done. They had to get Chase done, and getting Higgins done is a nice piece of work too.
Honestly, it kind of just seems like, fuck it, we'll just acknowledge our defense is bad. We're just investing in the offense and keeping it good, and they'll keep us in games kind of thing.
Yeah, the
But
best defense is more offense.
yeah. But they're like Alabama in this year's March Madness.
Oh, God.
Alabama's just straight run and gun threes offense, no defense pretty much. But it works for them. We'll actually get into the March Madness a little bit too. I forgot to bring that up. Because I don't know, did you make bracket? Oh,
When does it start tomorrow?
tomorrow. The
Okay,
play-in
I might
games
have
finish
to.
tonight.
Oh, really? So, can I still make one tomorrow?
Once the first game starts at like 9:15, you can't.
9:15 a.m. Okay, I guess I'll have to think about one tonight then. We'll see. I mean, I know I'm never right anyway. So,
This is the year I'm right. I'm going 100%. Mark my
hasn't has there
words.
Hasn't it been like 15 years since someone has had a full-on correct bracket?
There's never been a perfect bracket.
Really?
Never.
Wow.
Do you know the odds of it?
It's incredibly low, but you would think the
Oh no,
sheer
not incredibly low.
volume.
Like it's literally impossible. Go look at it.
You would think with the millions and millions and millions of people that do it every year, someone will have broken it.
But dude, there's always a 15 seed randomly beating a 2 seed or something like that.
Well, I guess I'm just gonna have to do it this year. I mean,
Like
guess it's just gonna have to be me.
go search up the odds on your phone right now and get back to me while I continue talking about the Bengals.
Okay.
So yeah, fuck the defense pretty much. And you, to be honest, you had to keep Burrow happy because, I mean, if you don't, then he probably was going to request a trade because, I mean, does he really want to live in Cincinnati his entire life? Maybe not. And if you're not going to keep him happy, then he was probably going to go. Now, Chase was a guarantee I think would get signed. Higgins, I honestly thought was going to get traded for picks and they would have just used it on defense and a replacement. You got the odds pulled up.
Yes. Now, this is from the Globe and Mail.
Okay.
The odds are 1 in 9.2 quintillion.
Yes. Yeah.
I did not know that was a number.
No, yeah, it's 'cause yeah.
1.9, 1 in 9.2 quintillion?
You have
What's
to
that
pick
like above a, oh my God.
63 games in a row correctly, Joseph. Like
I can do it. This is my year. I can do it.
so yeah, now with the Bengals, they have to nail their draft, especially on the defensive side. Have to. It's a must. They lost Hubbard. They might lose Trey Hendrickson because I don't think they're going to want to pay him after giving Higgins and Chase contracts. Like they need to improve their defense in the draft. And the only way to do that is through the draft at this point with all the money they've spent. It's kind of what keeps teams competitive for the most part. Like the Chiefs, for example. I like they traded Hill. Everyone's like, "Oh, downfall. They're not going to make playoffs. Their division's way better this year. They might finish fourth." What'd they do? They used the picks on Tyreek, loaded up their defense, won a Super Bowl the next year. So, we'll see if they can do that. Quickly shout out Derek Stingley, 3 year, $90 million, $89 million guaranteed. That LSU championship team with Burrow, Chase, Jefferson,
Yeah.
Stingley, that is like that team is so incredibly rich. I don't
Yeah,
know if,
gosh.
well, because I think they're over $500 million worth now, maybe more.
Well, and that OC was Joe Brady, and he's made a good chunk of money in the NFL too. So, pays to be a wide receiver, kids.
Brandon Graham retired, Eagles legend, 15 years, nice career. And then Danielle Hunter got a 1 year $35.6 million extension. He's now the second highest paid defensive end in the league.
He's like 32. What the hell?
Yeah, but he's good.
I know he's good. I remember him in
That's why it's only
Minnesota.
1 year though.
Who do you sign it with?
Texans.
Okay. I remember him in Minnesota. He was really good.
Yeah, he went to the Texans last offseason and then
Yep.
got the extension today. And the Texans defense was elite last year. So, oh, Stephon Diggs is visiting the Patriots. That'll be good for Drake May.
Cancer. Like, that's a cancer right there. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
All
That's one of
right.
those where the ego outweighs the talent.
Oh my God, Walker Kessler hit a three. Oh, okay, that's another thing. As we transition to NBA now, the Jazz. Oh my God, the Utah Jazz are like terrible for the league. The amount of
Yeah.
tanking this team is doing right now is insane. They will rest Walker Kessler. They'll like rest him every second game, basically.
I know, it's
They
ridiculous.
played him for like two in a row, and then they dress or like something, and then they dressed him for the next one, but they didn't start him, and they coach did not play him.
Yeah, it's bad.
Like, what are
It's
we
the
doing?
NBA is lucky it's in Utah where no one cares and they're not featured on any national games. But God, they gotta fix it. NBA's gotta fix the amount of time players are missing. I know they tried it last year with the awards and eligibility. Something's gotta happen here. With the amount of games players are missing because they're not lowering ticket prices. So they got to do something. They got to do something because it's out of hand.
That being said, the Detroit Pistons just won another game today. Apparently, Cunningham had a triple double. Well, that's for one, but he had a game winner over Bam. I haven't quite seen it yet, but they are now 39-31. They beat one two in a row. They had lost two in a row before that. Won two in a row, then lost two in a row. But before that, they were on like a huge win streak at one point, I remember. They're going to be in the playoffs. And that is like the craziest thing to think about for me because they've flown right under the radar. They could finish as high as the four seed right now. They're a game and a half back of the Pacers. I don't, and that's not even taken into account the game today. So they're like a half game back of the Bucks or tied with them now, games wise. They could be like a sneaky upset pick here.
Yeah, they could be.
Because they have about a top 10, like a just hovering around 10, 10th ranked offense. They're. Why is it only offense? Hold on. Let me pull up their next game. I'll find this. But. It's baffling to me, considering what went on last year and how they've just managed to turn it around in a one season like this. Like I thought they could make a play-in spot this year. Wouldn't have surprised me with how bad the East was. I forget if I actually had them for that. I think I had them just missing. But man, like they're good.
Yeah, I mean, they deserve it after what they went through last year. I mean, Cade Cunningham's a real good player. It's just they don't really have a super, super, superstar. So they're not going to go anywhere if they make the playoffs. So
I think
you
Cade's
have
on
to
the
sign
verge.
something. Yeah, not yet though. So they could also use a proper number two for him. So we'll see how that goes. Detroit's not really a destination though,
They
so.
have the ninth best defensive rating. I've heard them linked as a Devin Booker landing spot at the Phoenix, which I think could happen.
That's very weird. But I guess it's a bit a lower pressure situation for Booker. I just don't know if he'd go to Detroit. Not as glamorous.
But they'll play either the Knicks, the Pacers, or the Bucks in round one, all likelihood. I think they could easily give any of those teams a run for their money, not gonna lie. The
Maybe.
Knicks, I think, would beat them. The Bucks, you would assume Giannis and Dame would do their thing and beat them. The
But I
Pacers,
mean,
though, I
then
don't
there's
know.
God, the Bucks, can they overcome Doc Rivers? I think Pacers, Pistons would be really even.
Yeah.
It's a pretty evenly matched group.
I hate, oh God, I hate the play-in tournament.
So do I.
How, well,
They'll
like,
never.
the East is so bad that regardless, there's going to be two teams under 500 get in.
They'll never get rid of it because it makes them too much money.
Yeah.
But I just hate it.
There needs to be more, like, strict requirements on it, I think.
How do you do that?
Like, you got to be a certain amount of games back into the year.
No, they'll never agree to that. I've never liked it
Got to be
from
like
day
three
one. It
games back
cheapens
minimum or something.
the playoffs. These teams never have a chance. I mean, what are we doing here?
Because like, do you really want to watch a Chicago Bulls 29 and 30, 40, 39? The Bulls are now 29 and 40. Do you want to watch that in a play-in game?
Not in the slightest. Why would I watch the Bulls at all?
Josh Giddey.
Oh, God.
But yeah, shout out to the Pistons because they've been really good. You don't have a bracket, I guess, to go over for March Madness. So
No, not yet.
we're gonna go over mine. We're not gonna go over the full thing, obviously. I'll go over some like major upsets I have, and then I'll have my four, and then I'll my winner. So I have UC San Diego going to the Sweet 16, the 12 seed. I have them beating Michigan and then Texas A&M. Apparently
Okay.
they just like love to shoot the three ball, and I'm like, this has Cinderella written all over it. What else? That's out of the I forget what region this is. South maybe? I'm not sure. I don't regions confuse me. Out of this region though, I have Auburn advancing as the one seed.
Okay.
I have Grand Canyon GCU pulling off another upset this year. They did it last year. They were 13 seed and they won. I think they were 13 seed. I have them doing it again over Maryland. A lot of people are picking Drake as an upset. I'm not. It's kind of one of those things. Out of this region, though, I have Texas Tech advancing. Three seed.
I don't know very much about college basketball.
Yeah, neither do I. I just watch when March Madness comes on because it's
yep, same.
Like that first game, I don't know if you saw the ending to it. The 16 versus 16 playing game.
No,
there was like a just mad scramble. The one team like turned the ball over, having a chance to win. Of course they did because they're terrible. I think the Alabama State pick like get inbounds it from their own side of half, like their baseline. They just send like there was 3 seconds left. They send like a Hail Mary down the court. It's like fumbled between a couple of guys, and then they put in a layup with like 0.7 left to win. Just nice. The most classic March Madness ending. Out of this region, I have VCU advancing to the Sweet 16, 11 seed. Have them losing to Alabama though, who eventually beats Duke to go to the. Final four, because Duke always chokes eventually.
Yeah. We'll see if Flag is fully healthy.
Yeah, he's going to play hurt, it sounded like.
I wouldn't be doing that if I was him.
Just but... ankle sprain.
Yeah.
Fine. Out of here, I have... And then not really any upsets other than Texas or Xavier, whoever wins tonight. I haven't beaten him, Illinois. There's always just one of those teams that... I feel like that 11 spot always wins a game. There's two of those playing games. I always feel one of them will advance, and I have it being Texas or Xavier. Out of the region, though, I have Houston. So that leaves us with 1 seed Auburn, 3 seed Texas Tech, 2 seed Alabama versus 1 seed Houston. I have Houston and Auburn, the 2 1-seeds, going to the Final Four. Or the Finals, sorry. And I have Houston beating Auburn as my national champions this year.
Interesting. We'll see if that works out.
And it's the entire bracket, by the way, it is going perfect. Trust me.
Okay. Yeah, of course. 1 in quintillion or whatever it was.
Could you imagine like I did, though? Like, I'd be the most famous person on the planet.
Probably. For about a day.
No, for like...
For a while. For a month or so. Yeah, you do a whole lot of things. We'll see. I'll see if I can find time to make one tonight.
You will find time. Have to.
All right.
Has to be done. I also made a woman's one, but I... Or no.
I literally know nothing about... I know almost nothing about the men's. I know nothing about the women's. Outside of Haley Van Lith.
Juju Watkins is going to be nasty this year. She's like the next Caitlin Clark, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really?
Not to the degree of Caitlin Clark, but she's like the next big thing. Her and Paige Buechers.
Oh, yeah, I know who Paige Buechers is.
I forget who I have winning in that one. But basically, what I've learned is, like, there might be, like, one or two upsets around. But for the most part, you're just taking, the top seeds to advance in women's.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so. Anything else we got to touch on? Whitecaps update?
Not really. They won again. So that's kind of
4-0,
cool.
I saw, yeah.
Yeah, and somehow MLS put Inter Miami ahead of them on the power rankings, which is insane considering Whitecaps are the only team to go 4-0, but that's the MLS. Yeah, not much to talk about with them. They're going to play Chicago on the weekend, but a lot of their players are gone to international duty because the MLS is the only league dumb enough to continue through the international break. So if they're going to lose a game, it's probably going to be this one.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that wraps up this week. We will... be back next week, probably talking about I don't know what for NHL because we just did wild card race, so we'll figure something else to talk about, whatever pops up. Maybe the OV goal chase, maybe he'll be like 2 away by then, who knows.
Yep, slowed down a little bit recently.
It's OV, he'll pick it back up.
Yeah.
Then we will talk about, we'll do the awards and postseason prediction, I guess, part of the MLB preview, final one before the season starts next Thursday officially. Of course, the Dodgers played. Find something to talk about NBA, of course, like always, and maybe there'll be some mock. I have done a mock draft, like a quick one, so maybe I can I can reveal those thoughts. Because
Okay.
there's nothing really going on off season wise anymore unless something pops up.
Yeah.
Maybe a quarterback will sign and we'll get intrigued, but.
Yeah, we'll see what Aaron Rodgers decides to do.
And Russ, my boy
Yep.
Russ, still
Yep.
free agent. So, if you got this far, appreciate listening. We'll catch you in the next one. Peace out.
Goodbye.